Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One person has been arrested today in South Florida in connection with suspicious packages sent this week to prominent Democrats, CNN, and people critical of President Trump. We will be watching as that story develops throughout the day. This morning, two more packages were intercepted, one addressed to New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, the other to James Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence, and it brings the number of potential mail bombs to 12. And now, just 11 days from the midterm elections, many Americans are talking about the need to lower the temperature in national politics.
Joining us now is Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there.
So obviously, we're going to be keeping close track of this story and learning more about who the suspect is who has been arrested. What we know for sure, though, is just how divisive these crimes have become in American politics. And I wonder if you can tell us why.
Well, polarization has been at an all-time high for quite some time. You look back at a couple different eras in American history, maybe the 1960s and the Civil War come closest or were worse than today, but there's not much in between. President Trump, let's be frank, has been somebody who has created the sense that the press is the enemy of the people. He continues to say fake news at his rallies and point the finger at the pen that we're all kept in at the rallies behind the risers. I was at a rally in Houston. People were very nice to me going in, happy to take my questions, lovely people to chat with and talk to. By the end and through the middle, it was a crescendo of just anti-media stuff. So that's what comes to be seen. And President Trump has been somebody who has been a take no prisoners, kind of politician for anybody who disagrees with him.
But Domenico, the president started this week by calling for unity, and then he's come to this place that you're describing now. And I want to hear from White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, who was speaking on Thursday.
Look, the president, I think, could not have been more presidential yesterday when he spoke directly to the American people. He condemned this violence. Let's not get lost in who is responsible for this heinous act. It is the person who made and sent these suspicious packages. Let's not forget that that is ultimately the person that is responsible and will be held responsible by this administration.
Now, clearly the president thinks he's being unfairly linked to the person who did this. But why hasn't he been able to stick to that message of unity that he started this with?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty typical pattern of President Trump's. I mean, this is somebody who anytime he is criticized or becomes the sort of focus of criticism, then he doubles down, he triples down, he digs that that trench and is going to fight for every inch. And, to some respects, what Sarah Sanders says is true. The person who committed this act is going to be held responsible. It's a Justice Department that the president oversees, and that person is largely responsible for what they did, obviously. At the same time, you can't ignore the climate that's been created in this country where people view each other in ways that are inhuman. And that is a recipe for disaster, especially for people who might not be as mentally stable as other people. And if President Trump sees this as kind of a playing the refs, kind of gaming the referees, and he doesn't see it as a real thing, like he wouldn't want actual violence to be perpetrated, he just wants better news coverage, then, sure, he thinks that there's the possibility and the likelihood that people can draw that lines, but not for everyone in the crowd.
Taking a different tone to the president is New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, a Democrat. Here he is speaking yesterday.
A tone of civility, a tone of mutual respect is something we all can create. We shouldn't just ask what are the most prominent voices doing. We also have to ask the question, are all of us treating each other with respect? Treating men and women in law enforcement with respect, people in the media who report the news, treating them with respect. This is something that we all have to do as a way of addressing a crisis like this, and we can, and I have great confidence that we will.
Domenico, what's your confidence level? I mean, what's it going to take to lower the temperature in the country?
Well, I mean, it does start at the top. I think that there has to be an example that's set. But I understand what Mayor de Blasio is saying. He's saying that everyone has to kind of live that out. If it can start from the ground up, if it can start with your local leaders, if it starts within your communities, then those are important things. You know, Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, spoke last night at the University of Buffalo, and he took a similar tone. He said that my hope is that the recent spate of these, who knows exactly what they are, these pipe bombs being mailed, might wake everybody in my business up a bit and realize that we have to begin to put this country back together. This division, this hatred, this ugliness, it has to end. Words matter. And he said that he believes that that's possible and likely. Of course, you know, the cynical, political watcher in me says Vice President Biden is still somebody who is considering a run for president. And a hopeful, uplifting message certainly stands in contrast to what President Trump is purveying.
Joe Biden also said he would beat up Donald Trump if they were in school together when they were kids. So, you know, Democrats have some share of the blame in this too.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you'd say they're sharing the blame in this specific instance, but as far as civility and tone and all that goes, you know, Democrats have struggled to figure out how to react and respond to President Trump. Do they take this kind of anti-bullying approach that says, you stand up to if you're fought on the somebody tries to tease you in the schoolyard, Joey, get up, Joey, get up off the floor, as Biden would say, and fight back, right? It's not a turn the other cheek message. And I think a lot of Democrats are tired of turning the other cheek. And that creates volatility we're seeing.
Domenico, President Trump has ordered 800 military troops to the southern border, the border of the U.S. and Mexico. He said for national security reasons, as this caravan of Central Americans seeking asylum is making its way to the United States. There are reports that he's also considering a plan to close the southern border to all immigrants, including asylum seekers. Do you believe that he actually intends to do that, and can he do it on his own? Or do you think he has his eye on the midterms and he's trying to create a clamor just prior to that?
I think the president always has his eye on politics. I think that that's the sort of default position. I think that's the default position for a lot of presidents. But I think that this president in particular is paying very close attention to that. I think that the reason he talks about national security is because it makes it more likely that that would be an okay thing to do as it relates to an executive order unilaterally without needing to bring in Congress for anything like that. And what two White House officials told NPR's Tamara Keith is that the administration is considering a wide range of administrative, legal, and legislative options to address the, quote, Democrat-created crisis of mass illegal immigration. No decisions have been made at this time, nor will we forecast to smugglers or caravans what precise strategies will or will not be deployed. So they're not denying that it's a possibility, but they're certainly not saying that anything has been finalized at this point.
All this very interesting. 11 days from the midterms. I know there's an NPR PBS Marist poll out today that basically says this election will very much be about Donald Trump. What else do we know?
Absolutely. Two-thirds of Americans say that Donald Trump will be a factor in their vote, 67% of people. Now, the reason that's important, you can always say, well, you know, a president, of course, that's what the main thing is that people are voting on. When you look back to 2014, when Republicans took back the Senate, only 47% of people, 20 points lower, said that President Obama was a factor in their vote. And in fact, this time around, more people, almost half, say that President Trump's their impression of President Trump makes them more likely to vote for a Democrat as compared to in 2014 when a slightly lower number said that their impressions of President Obama made it more likely for them to vote for a Republican. And remember, that's a year that Republicans took back the Senate. So that's one finding in there. Women, especially suburban women, women who live in the suburbs, say that Trump is not just a minor factor. He is a major factor in their vote. And people who say that he's a major factor are twice as likely to go and vote for a Democrat. So we are seeing the floor of this election rising, a lot of potential turnout, could be the highest in 50 to 100 years, which is kind of fascinating. And you're seeing a lot of the opposition to President Trump being driven by women, in particular white college educated women, when Republicans are hoping that the good economy will help buoy them and hold on to maybe even make gains in the Senate.
Well, the president has got a really full schedule ahead because he's going to go to 10 rallies apparently this coming week, sometimes two a day in two different states. We've also been seeing big policy proposals on prescription drugs, on immigration, as we said. What do you make, I wonder, Domenico, of how the president is approaching big issues in these final days?
Well, fact of the matter is Republicans have been saying to me for months that that no single issue has been able to break through. They really sighed. They took a heavy sigh of relief when the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings seemed to raise Republican enthusiasm. That seems to have faded now when we looked at our polling. And in fact, tax cuts, you know, the thing that a lot of Republicans really were hanging their hat on, thinking this is going to be the thing a lot of people are going to like.
Not resonating.
Not resonating. Yeah. Only 11% of people in our poll said that it's a factor in their vote. By the way, more people said that it made them more likely to vote for a Democrat tax cuts than for a Republican. And one more point on that is that when Mitch McConnell says that it's not a Republican problem, the deepening federal deficit, that he'd like to try to cut entitlements. Well, 60% of Americans actually said they'd rather roll back those tax cuts than touch Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security.
11 days to go, a lot of time between now and Election Day. Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.